Okay, you know, this week I tried to go left and I tried to go right with what I want to speak about. And the more I tried to go left and change course, the more it didn't feel right and sit right with me. And that's normally an indication that God says, stay straight, Tony. You're in the zone. Stay where you are. And I'll let you know when the turning ahead is coming. So I make no apologies for continuing talking about walking with him. None whatsoever. But I want you to understand that God is behind this and speaking to us in this time about continuing our walk with him. It's the most important thing you and I will ever do. Because everything, if we're Christians and we're believers, and which many of us profess to are, I said many of us because you've got to answer it for yourself, we've got to keep walking with him. We have to keep walking with him. And I felt within my heart to keep stirring and awakening and encouraging us to walk, to keep walking, irrespective of our situation, circumstance, or trials that are facing us. Because all of these things are potential stoppers. They stop us, they block us, you know, and they become stumbling blocks in the kingdom. Amen? Jesus said, you're a stumbling block. And these things can become a stumbling block that make us trip, that make us fall, that make us quit. And we've got to find ways to keep walking, to work round our obstacles, walk through our circumstances, walk through grief and events and all those kind of things. We've got to keep on walking. The Bible says we've got to keep laboring with all his energy. Amen? And the whole of the Old Testament and the whole of the New Testament is about walking with God. Whichever way you look at it, yes, there's blood, snot, tears, romance, highs and lows in all of that, but through all of all that, it's about walking with God. Israel walked through the desert with God for 40 years. She struggled to keep walking with God. She struggled. God said, you're such a people that I love you, but I can't always handle you. Because you're constantly complaining about this walk. You want to stop, you want to jettison, you just want to abandon whenever it doesn't feel right for you. Or because you moan when I give you quail, would you rather be starving or would you rather have quail? Well, can we have steak instead? Can we have egg and chips? Can we have fufu? Can we have whatever your delight is? They wanted it. And he said, you know, these people are always complaining. They're never happy with what I give them. They always want something that's not there. Sounds a lot like modern day Christianity to me. This church doesn't have that. That church doesn't have this. This pastor doesn't have that. This congregation doesn't have that. She doesn't have this. God says, shut up whining. Shut up whining, he says. Just walk with me. Just walk with me. And the patriarchs, the prophets, the priests and the saints, they all had to encounter this walk. So what makes you different? Nothing. Nothing. This is our primary need to keep on trusting. Yes. To just keep on trusting. To keep on believing. You know, the problem is keep serving, keep on walking, keep listening. I fear that we contemporaries have become so casual with God. We've become so familiar with God. We've become so pally with him that we have lost awe, reverence, respect for God. We think we can just come in and go out any way we please. We think we can just talk to him the way we want. We think we can just talk to one another the way we want. We are God's people. And let me take it a step further. We are God's holy people. Amen? We serve a holy God. We don't come to church because it's cool. Some may not. We come because there's God in here. And we can connect to God at the level that our hearts desire. There's many churches we could all go to. The issue is God brings us to a place where his people can meet with him and fellowship. Many times God brought Israel to a place she wasn't happy with. She wasn't happy with the surroundings. She wasn't happy there was enemies to her left, enemies to the right. And God says, you just keep walking forward. I'll supply a pillar of fire at night. I'll supply a cloud during the day. I'll keep leading you if you keep walking. I don't need to send you a pillar of fire or a cloud if you won't walk. Yeah? Oh, but no, we want the church to be nice and warm. We want light in the church. God says, I'm walking, and I'm not just walking inside the church. I'm walking outside the church, and I want to take my church where I'm going. But no, we just want to come to church and have it nice, sweet. He said, but when you meet me, you have no reverence and you have no respect. You see, the law of Moses was massive on respect. It was key about respect. Respecting the law. Respecting the Lord. And it had retribution attached to it for those who didn't obey it. Yeah? You see, don't think the law was just the Ten Commandments. The law is 613 commands in the Old Testament. Right? They couldn't keep 10. Never mind 613. So, respect, retribution, all these things came out of that law. And God says, that's why when Z read the word, I've been feasting on that word all week, by the way. I'm going to speak about it in 11. The very scripture that Z read out is something I've been feeding on. When God says to them, it wasn't just a command. He said, give me everything you've got that's inside of you. Empty yourself for me. And this is what this walk demands. It doesn't demand. We made our Christianity so if the modern day saints walked into church today, they would be appalled at the way the believers live, think, and talk. They would be appalled that nobody's outside. They would be appalled. And the disciples would quickly be thrown out of the church by their own people. The Baptists would freak out. The Pentecostalists would freak out. The Charismatics would have to grow up. Denominationalism would be gone. And so many networks and apostolic, so-called apostolic ministries would just be shot down in flames. Why? Because it's not the original church. We want church original. Amen? Not church as usual. Church original. So when there's always a challenge for the pastor to reduce what he thinks and feels in God, to bring it down to the basic level. And I got rebuked by God for that. God says, flood the harbour and the boats will rise. Keep on speaking to the people at the level I'm speaking to you. At that level I'm speaking to you is the level that the people can take it. Because I'll make room in their hearts for them to make the journey. So my role is to keep walking with him, to keep on speaking to you, to keep speaking to him, to keep speaking to you. His role is to speak to me, to speak to you. And as you're speaking to him, he'll speak to you individually. And he'll confirm to you what you need to, what you've been speaking with him about. And he'll confirm what we're speaking about. Because God is not a God of confusion. Amen. Amen? Keep walking with him and you'll find out that here and here will join together and become one stream. Amen? So, Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Mark chapter 6, verse 7, and Luke 10, verse 1. Mark 6, verse 7, Luke 10, verse 1. The first of all, it says, Mark 6, 7, it says, calling the 12, he sent, calling the 12 to him, sorry, he sent them out two by two. And he gave them authority over every evil spirit. Amen? Spirits, plural. Calling the 12 to himself. Watch this. He called the 12 to him. To him. Why? Because he wants them to walk with him, but then he sends them out. So though he brings them to him, and then he sends them out in his name. So when God calls you, he calls you to him, and then he sends you out in his name. So he says he sends them out two by two. Just hold on to that. Then we go to Luke 10. It says, and after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. So they were messengers, they were forerunners for where he was going. He told them where to go, they went. Nothing's changed. If we're led by the Spirit, he'll tell us where to go. Because he's saying, go there, because I'm going there. And if you get there before I do, which you will do, I'll be there when you get there. Now here's the issue here. 12 and 72, the only difference is the numbers. The strategy stayed the same. Whether it was 12 or 72 or 1,020 or whatever number you want to put there, the strategy stayed the same. And the strategy was two by two, going twos. Now, there's an emphasis behind this if we're going to walk with God. Don't just get caught up on the two, just the two. See the wider picture. Now, let's take a modern example. Can you put my slide up, please? You got it? No? Have you got the right one there? No, that's not the right slide. It should have a Liverpool badge. Put it on the desktop. Okay, I'll keep talking. And can you imagine, can all of you visualize a Liverpool badge? No? They don't want to, I know that. Okay, let me just come over there, because it's, Dave, can you see if you can find it, please? It's important that I show you the badge, because I'm going to make a point from it. A rather significant point. And if we can't, I'll just keep talking and you'll get the image eventually in your mind. If I do that and show you, let me do that for the court, for the jury here this morning. Can you all see that? Scouse badge. Can you see that? Liverpool. Everybody see it? For the office? It's red. Can everyone see that? That badge. Okay. You all seen it now? Help. Phil won't see it. Now, can you imagine if there was 1,000 people in this room? I'd still be walking around one of them. Now, I know seeing that badge may cause some of you to want to vomit. I know John, is this your team, is it? It's John's team, this. So John's on his own. Fight him off, John, fight him off. John's the only one, yeah. So that this badge might cause some of you an offence, jokingly speaking. And we may need to clean the house afterwards or cleanse the iPad of which I shown here. But that badge is associated with Liverpool Football Club. And who were otherwise known as Liverpudlian or Scousers. Liverpudlian is the name, like we are Mancunians, they're Liverpudlian. But they're called Scousers as well. Don't worry, guys, if you can't find it. Just chill out. The deed's been done now. And the term Scouse has become popular. But why has it become popular? Because the Scouse originates from a dish. A dish. A popular dish that sailors in the 19th century used to eat. And Liverpool was a premier port at the time. So the sailors used to eat what they call lob scouse, which you think, what's lob scouse? It's like an Irish stew. It's like an Irish stew. And hence the name Scousers were attached. Right? So now you've had the history of your... this is for John. Now, now he knows. And the phrase you'll often see with Liverpool is, you'll see YNWA, you'll never walk alone. Now, if you've walked in some parts of Liverpool, you would never want to walk alone. Just like you would not want to walk alone in Manchester in certain parts. So, you'll never walk alone is part of their anthem. Yeah? And it's interesting because it was originally... There it is. He's got me on a different one, anyway. Has that got you'll never walk alone? Oh, yeah, hasn't it? You'll never walk alone. Thanks, guys. Thanks for that. And it was originally written by Rodgers and Hammerstein. You'll never walk alone. And it was written for the Oscar-winning musical Carousel. Okay? In 1945. And it later became recorded by Jerry and the Pacemakers, who were Liverpudlian. And what happened was is, it was in the charts, and Tommy Smith was one of the Liverpool footballers, liked the song so much that he played it to Bill Shankly, who was Liverpool's manager. And he was a Scotsman, and hey, I like that, you know. He was like Popeye, Bill Shankly. And he liked the song so much that they would play the song at the beginning of every game. And what happened was is, as the song began to drop down the charts after a while, they stopped playing it. And as they stopped playing it, the fans started to sing it without them playing it. And hence, it became Liverpool's anthem. You're getting all this history free, John. Getting all this history. I'm called Igipedia. And he became their anthem. And the issue is you'll never walk alone. We know that song, and it's sung everywhere. And you know, it's been covered. That song's been covered by Johnny Cash, Doris Day, Elvis Presley, Nina Simone, Louis Armstrong, of all, sang that song, You'll Never Walk Alone. Not because Liverpool sing it, but because it's a good song on its own. The Scousers adopted it. The issue is that it's a song that people can identify with and recognise, and it's sang the world over. Yeah? However, God puts you and I together to not walk alone. There is no anthem over the church called You'll Never Walk Alone. It does not apply to us. Why? Because God doesn't want you to walk alone. And let me clarify that. I'm glad you asked. You are called to walk. Your walk is an individual walk. But you're not called to walk alone. So, in Proverbs 3, verse 5, it tells us that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Why? So, if you walk alone, you'll only ever lean on your own understanding. Do you understand that? If you walk alone, you are the only reference point. It's not good. It's not good. Crazy starts when you're just alone in your head. Crazy starts, unrealistic starts when you're alone in your head. So when we walk, if we trust in our own understanding, what happens if your understanding is not enough? And mine isn't. I know I'm talking to the intelligent this morning, so I'll talk to myself. My understanding is not enough. I need greater understanding in my life. And greater understanding is sat inside others, as well as it's coming from above. So he says, "Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your paths straight." So our walk is intended to be a straight path. Keep walking. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. It's a straight path. Keep walking. Now, we walk together because we share the same mind of Christ. There's no reason for me to walk with Z if we don't share the same Christ. Oh yeah, I might like him, I might meet him at work, and we might have some common ground. But to walk with him on this journey, we need to share the same Lord.
Amen.
Amen? We need to share the same mind of Christ. Not everybody has the same mind of Christ. Everybody has access to the mind of Christ, but not everybody partakes of it. Why? Because some people trust in their own understanding. Right? So if people trust in their own understanding, then there's only going to be a level at which you understand. With this shared mind, we can walk together to lift each other up. Now, two makes sense. If two walk together with sharing the same mind, they can lift each other up. True? And they can lift them to higher levels of faith and to higher standards required for our life. With a shared mind, we can walk together to support one another and to bring comfort to one another. Jesus walked along an Emmaus road. He walked with disciples who were walking together. And Jesus brought comfort in the midst of two walking together. Jesus is able to speak in the midst of your circle. With a shared mind, we can walk together and remind each other that there are terms and conditions of our walk. And I've said this before. And we can remind each other that, Phil, if you keep your walk, God says he'll keep his word. I need someone to remind me that from time to time. Because when I lean on my own understanding, I justify all my actions. And I need somebody to lean into me and say, hey, wake up, sleepy. Rise from the dead. Get back to where you're supposed to be. That's why I can speak and prophesy into him this morning. Why? Because we walk together. We don't need a Liverpool badge. We haven't got a serendipitous walk. We're on a walk for purpose. Amen? So, we walk together and we add strength to each other. But we've got to have two. It starts with two. It doesn't stop with two. It just starts with two. You on your own are called to walk with God, but you're not called to walk alone. Only the anthem sings that, not the Bible. Yeah? So when you're singing that, John, next time, just remember it's an ungodly statement. Just need to let you know. And you've got a dragon, just like United. This is why we can't support you or United. False gods. And Amos, the book of Amos keeps telling us or keeps asking us, do two walk together unless they agree to do so? And Jesus sent them out. They agreed. They would follow him. They would take his name. They would take his authority. They would go and push back the demonic forces that were plaguing the lives of people in every town. And Jesus says, I'll be with you. But you've got to go. I don't want to be with you in church. I want to be with you everywhere. I don't just want you to be with me in the comfort times. I want to be with you and show you them, God, in the extreme times and the uncomfortable times. And Jesus said this for a reason. He said, for this reason I was born. For this reason the Son of Man came. So we see that Jesus was born for a purpose. So if Jesus was born for a purpose, how much more realistic is it for us to be able to assume that we share in that same purpose? He just didn't come to love us. He came to lead us. Hello, let me say that again to you. So many of us get wrapped up with him just loving us. He came to lead those he loves. And lead us somewhere. And if he's going to be the leader, then it stands to reason that there's got to be followers. There has to be followers. And you're a follower, and I'm a follower. And he said, Jesus found the 12, and he found the 72. He found the dream center. And he says, now boys, follow me. Follow me. So fellowship is the issue. So to follow, you've got to walk. Fellowship is the primary issue in the New Testament. Walking together is so significant. Walking on your own is dangerous. Walking together is significant. Why? And I'm going to give you the word that I never ever want you to forget. Never ever want you to forget. Next time you're sat there in your individual lonesome and you're singing, "You'll never walk alone, walk on, walk on," with hope in your heart, look around you and say, who's at the side of you? You're not called to walk on your own. You're called to have an individual walk, but you're not called to walk alone. Now, here's the thing. Here's the word. Your walking should lead you to partnership. You see, when I walked across the room to my wife, she wasn't my wife. She was just this attractive, sexy-looking woman that I found attractive and sexy at the age I first met her. Still do. I had to make a walk towards her. And as I walked across the room, so to speak, metaphorically, I've kept on walking with her. But I didn't, up to that point, I was walking on my own. And now I created a partnership. Now we've walked together. Now we've created offspring. Now we have a family. And their family is creating a family. And now we've got a tribe. Now we've got a clan. Now we can go to war. And God, we've kept on leading, we've kept on walking, we've kept on following. And our base is beginning to grow and widen and strengthen. Amen? It's partnership. We must look for opportunities to partner. We must look for opportunities to partner. Why? Because partnership gives us the opportunity to work alongside and to walk alongside and to work alongside. So partnership equals walking alongside, working alongside. When a marriage breaks down, it's because they stop working together. And then they don't want to walk together. But it's still a partnership until it's dissolved. So we partner. What do we partner for? Well, let me make it simple for you. We partner for the gospel. Philippians 1 verse 3. Let me give you a verse. Philippians 1 verse 3. I said, I thank God every time I remember you. Remember, look at his affection here. I thank God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel. There it is, right there. Your partnership in the gospel. Not because you're just fine dandy people. You're just nice to be around. You always give me a nice meal. You always give me a free accommodation. You always take me to the cinema. You always take me out. No. I always have great joy and affection when I think about you guys. Why? Because I know you're my partner in the gospel. Now, if God can get a company of believers who will partner with others for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel, God has a very unusual company. People don't want to partner, they just want to be left alone. That's not Christianity. And he says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, why would Jesus carry it on? Why? Because there's a work taking place. There's a walk and there's a work. So God is obligated to carry on working with those people who will partner in the gospel. See, it never leaves me, this thought never leaves me, that in the Christian race, so many Christians have already finished their race even though they're alive. So many people are finished. not have finished their race, but are finished. They may live for another 20, 30 years, but the race stopped. The race is over. They've produced all the fruit they're ever going to produce, and now they've taken early retirement. They must be French. They've gone for the early retirement package. Yeah? Some people live 1,000 years and never live a single day of their life. Some people live for 10 minutes and live every minute of their life. And so many Christians are finished in their walk with God because of their attitude, because of the hurts, because the wonderful Wizard of Oz. And some will join the race late, but they'll be ahead of them. And this is why Jesus said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Even now, people are getting ahead, he says. Even now, people are getting ahead of Israel. That's what he was pointing to. Israel, it's been offered to Israel all day long. They've tried to gather you as chicks. But even now, the Gentiles are getting ahead of you. You're finished in the race. You're finished, he says. Why? Because there's others who are more eager and more desirous and want to get into the kingdom. They're willing to follow me and walk with me. And what happens is the lost sheep of Israel now are sat in the church. You don't have to go to Israel to find the lost sheep. You find the lost sheep sat in church. Why? Because they've finished, they've shut down, closed and says, I'll come to church this far no more. I will walk alone. I don't need anybody else. And I'll keep walking with hope in my heart. Well, it's vain. Because he tells us not to do it. He tells us explicitly, don't walk alone. There is no just me, myself and I. There's me and we and us and them. The partnership in the gospel. And then he says this in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Continuation is partnership. Partnership solidifies continuation. Or cements. Luke 5:4, he says, when he had finished speaking, now listen, this is a very interesting scripture. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for the catch. And you've read this scripture many times. Simon answered, Master, we've worked all night and we haven't caught a cod, a haddock, sea bass, we've caught zilch. We're thinking of going to the kebab shop actually for our tea. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. See, there has to be a voice leading. That's the response to a walker. That is the response of a walker. Because you said so, I'll do it. See, if I'm on my own, don't feel like it. Can't be mithered. Always find a reason not to do something when you're on your own. Come on, let's do it. Come on, we need to do it. Come on, he's told us to do it. Come on, Dad's waiting for us. But because you said, I'll do it. And then he says this. When they had done this, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. And we finished the story there. Time and time again, but we missed the gold. The gold. The gold is this. Watch. And so they signaled their partners. They signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. See, when you're a walker, you realize you only have so much strength. And you need partners to supply strength that you don't have. You might have been fishing. You might go out fishing all day long. But it's your partners that add something to you that you can't do alone. And if most of your life and my life is finding out what you can't do on your own. Have you realized that? Most of our lives we spend walking alone, finding out what we can't do on our own, finding out what we can do on our own, and we never involve others. How much more could we have done if we'd have involved others? Partnering because we're proud or because we are scared that others will expose us. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled their boats so full that the big boats began to sink. Wow. The strength of others can bring you into abundance. The strength of others. No man is an island unless he's called Madagascar. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. On their release, Peter says, on their release, Peter and John went back, watch this, to their own people. Their own people. Now, in so many walks of life, their own people will apply to culture. So if in every nation there are multiple nations, aren't there? And cultures will always find culture inside another culture. And you'll always find your people in your culture. And it's so easy to connect and stay with just your people. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. However, that can't be the only people that you consider are yours. If you've got partnership, make the right kind of partnerships with the right kind of people. And culture shouldn't really come into it. It's people. It's partnership that we're really looking for. The right kind of partnership. Now, I know language can be a big issue. And that language is a challenge on its own. But as a Christian, if we're worshipping in the same church, we all understand the same language. We must do, to some degree. And he says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it. They went back to their own people. And together, they corporately together began to raise their voice. This morning we came in. We corporately together, this was our people, this is our tribe. Inside the house is a culture. And together we began to lift up the voice, our voices, and God began to speak. And has not stopped speaking since we began to raise our voices. We found our people. This is our tribe. And we have, out of this tribe has to come partners. Partners. So God wants you and I to find partners, a company of people who will walk and who will work together. Who will walk and who will work together. Walkers have to become workers. Yeah? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath comes upon those who are disobedient. Therefore, don't be partners with them. For you were once in darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. So there's a company of people that God does not want us to partner with. And there's a company of people that God does want us to partner with. Those who are in the dark, God says, I don't want you to partner with them. You might work with them. You might go to work and be alongside some of those people. But partnering's different. Partnering's of a different level altogether. It has a different mindset, a different objective. Yeah? But when I partner with someone, we must have not only the same mind, but share the same light. And share the same life. Light and life. And he says, therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once in darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Well, we know what pleases the Lord. Partnership does. Because he's just told us what to do and what not to do. So if we do what he's told us to do, we've already taken a step to pleasing the Lord. Does that make sense? When the answer's right there. Don't do this, but do this. So if you do what he's telling you to do, that pleases the Lord. Because every time you and I do what pleases the Lord, we do what he tells us to do, it pleases the Lord. So all we've got to do is keep walking with others who keep reminding us what pleases the Lord. So in building partnerships for the gospel, there are questions that we need to ask ourselves, because we've just been told, don't just partner with anyone. We all know that not every horse will finish the race. Every dog doesn't finish its course. Every horse doesn't finish the race. Some horses fail at the first hurdle. Some horses lose the jockey and go wandering on its own. We've seen it on TV. You and I must not be that horse. Every horse needs a jockey. Yeah? Unless it's a donkey on the beach. Yeah? Donkeys will just stand there. Yeah? Donkeys will just... They're not going to shoot off. A horse will. Now, you must know... First question you've got to ask yourself if you're going to build partnership is this. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you, John? Didn't ask you what you do. I said, who are you? This is important to partnership. Some people want to partner because of a skill you've got. That's one reason for people partnering. But we're talking about children of the light here. It's a different level of why we would want to partner with anyone. Why would you want to partner with a man you like? Who are you first? Ask that question. Answer who you are. Because if you answer who you are, that will change the whole perspective of partnership. Why? You must know who you are and who you are becoming. If you don't know who you are and what you're becoming, you'll fall for anything that's attractive. Or you'll fall for anything that looks good and sounds good. You must know who you are. When I was younger, I didn't have a clue who I was. Why? Because I needed a father to tell me who I was. Because fathers are the ones who set identity into our lives. Father's voice has to be so clear to set the destiny. Now, we know the home is not perfect. So God has many ways of bringing other people into our life to affirm who we are. He's not reliant upon our dads. He set the pattern for fathers to speak in the home, knowing full well that the society would distort the family. God is able, God's our Father. And if God is our Father, God will lead people to speak into our lives to bring the identity to us. So once you know who you are, you're ready for partnership. And so many young people just want to get married and fall in love, but they have no idea who they are. And as you look back in your life, you think, you know, I knew nothing back then. It's true. And now I'm older, I'm not sure I know much more. Who are you will determine what seed you have to sow. Who you are will determine what seed you have to sow. Because partnership is all about contribution. I must have something to sow into this partnership. Are we getting this? Who you are adds a dynamic to the partnership. Not who they are, who you are. Start with you first. Yeah? Because if Prince Charming comes through the door with his wonderful blonde hair, quiffing, you know, quiffed, and he's riding on a horse, and he turns out to be a donkey, he magnetizes you for a moment in time. But too late, you made a partnership with a donkey. You must be able to look at and say, I know who I am. He's not ready for me. She's not ready for me. They're not ready for me. Come on. Who you are adds a distinct dynamic to the partnership that you create. Who you are makes the difference to others. Who Phil is makes a difference to my life. Who his wife is makes a difference to my life. Many of you make a difference to my life who are partnered with. Who you are makes a difference. Who you are makes you attractive. And when I say attractive, I don't mean your face. I mean your spirit, your personality, your character. Who you are is attractive. I look for who you are. I don't listen to what you sound like, I listen for who you are. Because who you are, we should just be able to put our finger and test if there's any substance. Or it's all bravado. A sower went to sow a seed. Only the sower knew what seed he went to sow. So when I form partnership, I must know the seed I'm about to sow. The sower went to sow a seed, and only the sower knows the type of seed he sowed. Yeah? Some seeds fall by the wayside. Some don't. Know the seed that you're sowing. Before I give myself in partnership, in whatever level of partnership, whether it's business, marriage, whatever, gospel, I must know who I am. I said to you the other week, and I'll keep saying it, I can smell potential. What is potential smell like? It smells like seed. It smells like seed. Because seed to me, if I see potential and see seed inside of you, it has a smell. And I look at it and I can see it from a distance. So what, being a farmer, what do I want to do? I wanted to plant it. And I need you to plant yourself first so that partnership can then be established. But this pastor's a farmer. He sees people as seed. Now, not everyone who walks through the door is seed. Not everyone who walks through a door wants to be planted. Not everyone. But some do. And it's my job to see it, pray about it, find ways of how to talk to them, connect with them, so they can be planted in God's house, so that a partnership for the gospel can be created, so that we can produce a harvest. Amen? Jesus asked Peter, who do people say I am? He didn't ask him because he didn't know who he was. But you know, you go to many people and say, who are you? The first way they'll answer that question is, well, I work in a factory or I work in a shop. I didn't ask you what you do. I asked you who you are. Describe yourself in 3 words, can you? I don't know, can you? I think you can if you think about it. I think people can sum themselves up in 1 word if you think about it. Some would say asleep. Some could say finished. Others could say alive. Ready. Destiny. You know, 2 words. On fire. Ready to go. There's 3 words. All in. Up for it. Mad for it. Gagging for it. Who are you? That's the first question you've got to answer for partnership. Oh. Let me give you another question to ask yourself for partnership. Who is above you? Who is above you? If I make a partnership with Phil, he's not the boss and I'm not the boss. If I make a partnership with Carol, I'm not the boss. She's the boss. No. I know my role. She knows her role. But the boss, he's the boss. Because we're partnering for the gospel. We're partnering for destiny. This is not a secular business now. We're talking about spiritually speaking. Who's going to be the boss? Well, he's going to be the boss. And we've got to both submit to him. That's partnership right there. Who you allow to be over your life, the authority structure is going to determine the longevity of your partnership and the blessings. Yeah? You see, because I need to be under covering. I know as a pastor, I have an eldership team. I have a wife. Right? So I've got covering as a marriage. I've got covering as an eldership. But I also need the covering. The covering has to speak, has to lead. I don't walk alone. I walk under covering. I walk with my wife. I walk with an eldership. So I'm showing that there's covering in my life at every level. I don't ever want to be alone. I am not rowing my boat. I've got other people in it. So when I call to people, hey, there's a catch on, or I call to our partners who will come and help us bring the catch in. And the catch never comes into a church because there's no partners. The reason why many churches don't grow is because there's no partners to help bring the fish in. Last time I looked, the pastor isn't the evangelist. So, when Jesus went into the wilderness, did he go alone? He went in the power of the Spirit. He came out in the power of the Spirit. Jesus went into the desert, but he was never alone. So let's ask another question. So we've asked, who are you? Who is above you? Can I give you two more and then we're finished? Who is for you? Who is for you? Let's ask, who's for you? We're going to have partnership. Let's find out who's for me. Who's for you? Well, those who are for you. Those who recognize your spiritual gift. So remember, we're talking spiritual now. Those who recognize you. You know who you are. They now begin to recognize who you are. So there's a mutual understanding of who you are. Right? And we know who we are because we walk with people. So before partnership is created, we walk with a few people. Yeah? Many of us have been walking in here now. We know who's who in the zoo. So we know we should be able to make partnership. So now, I know who I am. I have a feeling and I can smell the seed. I see potential. I like what I'm seeing. I feel comfortable with around certain people. Now, they recognize and we recognize the gifting on one another's life. We recognize the anointing that God's given us. Yeah, we're not both going, greasing one another, going, wah! The anointing. No. We're not silly. We recognize the gift and the grace that God's put on each other's life. And that is attractive to the partnership. Amen? And we recognize it because we recognize it's God-given. But not only is it God-given, you've put some work into it. You've developed it. So there's maturity behind the gift or a level of. Yeah? See, if you don't find these people in your life, do you know the danger is? The wrong crowd will come. The wrong crowd will come and they won't recognize you, or they'll use what you've got for their advancement, not for the partnership. Oh yeah, people will use what you've got to elevate them. People say, oh, I need you. You make so much difference in my life. Yeah, so that you fuel them. Partnership is mutual understanding. What we're trying to achieve. I don't use all Phil's strength so that I can get what I want and do what I want and leave him so far behind. If it doesn't add strength to one to each other, then it's not a partnership, it's abuse. So who is for you? Who is for you? You need to know that. Who is for you? And lastly, who is with me and why? Who is with me and why? Who is with me and why? There are those who listen to me. There are those who like what I say. And then there are those who are with me because they recognize the grace of God on my life. I know why they're with me. I know why. Then after anything else, I know why they're with me. I know the company of people who are with me as these people push me onwards. They're always looking to lift me up. They're always in the journey and on the common path of common purpose with me. I know that some people, walking with God is just an option. It's an option. But for others, it's non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable. They're going to keep walking with God. Peter asked the question, Lord. One day after Jesus asked him, who do you people say I am? Peter says, or the Lord said, some find this difficult. Some find this very difficult, Lord, that you're saying, unless they eat my flesh and drink my blood. Jesus, this is a tough line for you to preach. Don't say it. And Jesus turned around and said, do you want to go? Do you want to go? Do you want to dissolve the partnership right here? Because in our partnership, some things, strong things have to be said. Right? And he said, do you want an option out? Do you want to go now, Peter? And Peter said this, so where am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life. So partnership says this, I know this. This is one thing you have to ascertain. When you're going to be in a partnership, you must have words, and you must have words that create life. You must have words and words that create life. Many partners are destroying one another with their words. They create strife, not life. We don't want strife, we want life. When you're creating a partner, and when I say partner, I'm not talking about your wife. Partnership beyond your wife, partnership in the gospel. Yes, we could easily talk about marriage. This is not a marriage conversation. This is a partnership conversation. And I've already set the context for the gospel. Now, it may involve your wife. It should involve your wife. But we're talking about when Paul wrote to the church, he didn't write so just to married couples. He wrote to the church. So it involved everyone, whatever social standing you had. David was able to draw mighty men to him because of the partnership, the destiny. So, last question, who's around you? Who's around you? Partnership starts with those around you. Have a look who's around you. May I suggest there are good people around you who you need for the next level. This badge, in every sense, needs ripping up and thrown away. But, jokingly, not for John, that phrase, you'll never walk alone, is not our phrase. I know it has its own meaning. I know that. You know, when you walk alone, you've got hope in your heart and all that. I know all that kind of stuff. The issue is we're not called to walk alone. We are called to have an individual walk. But we are not called to walk alone. God sets us in a family. God sets us in a church. God sets us with partners, with companions, with people. We must keep on walking, folks, but if we're going to keep on walking, let's do it in partnership. Let's find the partners. Do you know, it's amazing how much strength comes when two come together. The partnership strength that can be. Now, some of you listen to this, you'll have a cup of tea and it's gone. Boom. Please, plug your hard drive in. Take home the word. Think about it. Let it come back to you. Say, Lord, I need partnership. I need to partner in the gospel. Show me who. Show me how. Show me, Lord, how to partner for strength. Not my agenda. Not my agenda. But it must just be natural. Synergize. See, I've got partnerships in the church and I've got partnerships outside the church. Right? But I need both. Why? Because I'm a farmer. Yeah? Your seed that God plants. You are seed that God plants. And as from your seed comes a harvest, and you keep planting what comes out of you. Amen? So every pastor should have the right to plant and keep sowing what's in his field. Is that fair? Now, I know every Sunday when I preach, some falls by the wayside, but I keep sowing. I know some of you, by the time you get out here, you'll be choked by the worries of your life. Some of you came in struggling for breath because you've already been choked by the following week, or the previous week, I should say. So when you read the parable of the sower, there's all different types of people, but there is one who will rise up to become 30, 60, 100 fold. But the farmer's job is to keep sowing. Amen. So please stand to your feet if you will. Most of you, well, all of us who were here made the early hour shift. You made the early hour shift. Some didn't. And they'll be reciting on my bed, Lord, I remember you. But we who made it, we received from God today, amen. We've received our portion. Your job is to go away and think about it, settle on it, and say, Lord, I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to walk in partnership. I'm going to walk for strength. I'm going to give all I am, who I am, for strength to the right people, to the right cause. Father, if you will, if you just raise your hands with me, join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for today's word. It's not just bread, it's nourishment to my soul. Father, I pray for every adjustment that needs to be made. Provision has been sourced for me to make the journey. You've put enough inside of me. And Father, whatever fear I may have, whatever suspicion I've had, Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit to lead me into all truth. Let there be a witness in the Spirit for my next step. As I'm about to take a next step, Lord, Father, I pray, oh God, Lord, that you will show me the partners to help, Lord, whether I have to, initially it's my strength that goes to them or it's their strength that comes to me. Father, I pray, Lord, help me see the other boats that need help right now and partner with the other boats. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, the God who is above all things. Father, I pray for the grace of God to go with your people this week. That they make right choices, good decisions. They walk in the path of righteousness. And Father, that they honor your name in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Lord bless you all. Have a good day.